Good morning, church. So on Monday morning, there was a knock on my door. There were two gentlemen. They were standing on my welcome mat. One was 30 years old. He had a sports coat on. The other was a 16-year-old boy. He had a dark dress shirt on. I didn't see the Watchtower magazine, but I knew that they were Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, in the past, I have invited Jehovah's Witnesses inside my home to talk about Jesus. I would rather that they waste an hour with me than to try to prey on people down the road. I take inordinate pride in this. I'm going to tell you anyway. I'm sorry, but when I was in seminary, I once made Jehovah's Witnesses look at their watch and say, "Wow, look at the time." That's the funny side. The not so funny side. When I was in Wisconsin, I had a Russian immigrant. His name was Noah, and he lived in a trailer park. And he begged me to come over to his house, to his trailer, because he was being really pushed by his Jehovah's Witnesses neighbors. And he couldn't find the words to defend his faith against these people. So I came over and we had a very long chat so they would leave this man alone. Sometimes it's fun to debate the Bible, to debate theology. Sometimes it is really exhausting. It really comes and it fatigues you. Now, I have to confess, and this really is confession this morning. Sorry, this is my time to confess, sorry. But I have to confess, I was not feeling particularly patient on Monday morning. I did not want to debate theology on my day off. I did not invite the Jehovah's Witnesses inside my door this Monday. But I did ask them a few questions. I started with, "Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God?" "Yes," they answered. "Wait a minute. I thought you believed that Jesus is not God, but that he's actually the Archangel Michael." "Yes." "Do you believe that Jesus is part of the Holy Trinity?" "No." And so I explained to them quickly, perhaps too quickly, that the Bible teaches that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I wished him a good day. I shut the door. I gave them solid theology. I don't think they heard any good news, though. I showed them that I knew the Bible, but I didn't help them hear the gospel. The Holy Spirit can use an abrupt conversation like that. I know that to be the case. But I gotta say, I didn't bring my best into that conversation. I blew an opportunity to share the happy news that Jesus is not some angel created by God, but that he is the Son of God, fully human. I wish I had slowed down. I wish I had opened up the Bible to John 1 and just helped them understand that in the beginning, Jesus was with God, that Jesus is God. So says John 1, 1. It can be hard to talk about faith. Agreed? It can be hard to talk about faith. Even preachers like me, who don't always know when to stop preaching, even preachers like me sometimes struggle to find just the right words when Jehovah's Witnesses show up at the door. A lot of us want our loved ones and even strangers to take a step closer to Jesus Christ. We just don't always know what to say. After I talked last Sunday about helping young ones take a step closer to Jesus Christ, I had someone say, "Could you give us something practical? Could you give us some practical tools to help people take a step closer to Jesus Christ. And then I opened up today's scripture from Luke 7, verses 36 through 50. And sure enough, Jesus teaches us how to reach the most unlikely people. And I really do mean the most unlikely people. First, Jesus makes himself available to a prostitute and a Pharisee. Second, Jesus meets this sinful woman's and this Pharisee's their practical needs. And then third, Jesus is willing to teach the Pharisee. He's willing to teach the prostitute what it means to be saved by grace alone. Let's hear the good news. That God uses people like you. That God uses people like me to help people take one step closer to the salvation of Jesus Christ. And there is no one, no one who is beyond salvation. Let's hear some good news. When one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him, he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table, and a woman in that town who lived a sinful life learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. So she came there with an alabaster jar of perfume. As she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair and kissed them and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii, the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he forgave the debts of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt forgiven." "You have judged correctly," Jesus said. Then he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears, and she wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not pour oil on my head, but she's poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, as her great love has shown. But whoever has been forgiven little loves little." Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." God's word. So, first piece of practical advice if you want to see someone come closer to Jesus. Number one, make yourself available. By all means, write that down if you'd like to. Number one, make yourself available. Jesus made himself available to Simon the Pharisee. Now, at this point in the story, the Pharisees were kind of undecided about Jesus. There are things they really, really liked about Jesus. They liked that he preached repentance and the forgiveness of sins. They liked that, but they didn't like that Jesus said you could be forgiven of sins. They liked that Jesus was going around and he was curing the lepers and he was taking care of the sick. They didn't like that he was hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. And so Simon the Pharisee, he invites Jesus over for supper. It's probably a meal after the Sabbath, a banquet, to check this guy out. to figure out, is this guy legitimate or is this guy someone that they could ignore? Now, Pharisees don't eat with sinners, right? You know that, right? Have you heard that before? Okay, you've heard, okay, so you've heard this before. Anyone else have heard this before? Okay. Why is there a sinful woman in his house then? Have you ever wondered why that is? Why in the world is this woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee? See, here's the thing. At a big banquet, maybe a dinner after Sabbath, the rich people in town, the successful people in town, the holy people in town, they'd leave the doors open. And people could just walk in and sit along the walls and listen to the scintillating conversation going around the dinner table. They could also beg for food. They could also could snatch the leftovers at the end of the meal. Simon the Pharisee, he doesn't want the sinful woman at his house, but it's part about being a polite guy, okay? He's allowing a person he would never talk to, a person he would never touch inside his home to get some scraps and to hear some conversation between he and this special guest, Jesus. Now, Jesus also made himself available to the sinful woman. The Bible is too polite to call her a prostitute, but that is almost certainly the sin in question. The Gospel of Luke does not give us the backstory of this streetwalker, but her grateful response at the table while they're eating strongly suggests that Jesus has already met this prostitute before. He's already forgiven this prostitute before, and she's heaping gestures of love onto Jesus' feet because he forgave her. He gave her a shot at new life. Now, respectable women did not let their hair down in public. Only prostitutes exposed their hair like that. There was nothing against the law. There was nothing immoral about this woman drying Jesus' feet with her hair. But can we say it's weird? You wouldn't want some strange woman doing this to your husband's feet. And so we should be a little uncomfortable that someone's doing this to our Jesus feet. If you don't feel uncomfortable, you're not quite getting the story. We all should be in the shoes of the Pharisee right now going, she did what? The whole party would have been uncomfortable, but Jesus does not scold her for her outrageous behavior. I got to tell you, if this happened at my house, if I'm the Pharisee in question, I probably would. Jesus does not scold her for her outrageous behavior. He made himself available for her gestures of thanksgiving, her gestures of love, as uncomfortable and as weird as they are. Now, I got to admit, I got to confess, and I'm coming here today, I really am penitent. I hope you get that. I'm not playing here. I'm not joking around. I feel uncomfortable about Monday. I did not make myself truly available to the Jehovah Witnesses knocking at my door, standing on my welcome mat. I should have been more willing to talk. And at the very least, I should have offered them a glass of water on that hot and smoky day. Now, please do not misunderstand me. You are not under obligation to correct every missionary that shows up at your door. If you hear that today, you're hearing the wrong sermon. In fact, if you don't understand how Jehovah Witnesses stray from biblical teaching, it's probably best that you don't have that conversation because you're liable to get confused about what's going on. But can I confess that I could have been more generous with my time? That I could have made myself more available to that conversation because I am equipped to have that conversation. And I feel like I should have been present. I should have been available with those two guys. I think I could have done better. Now, I bring this up because so often we hear stories about sharing our faith, and they're always successful stories, right? Like, and that's when they became a Christian, and everyone lived happily ever after for all eternity. I want this to be a little bit more convicting than that. I'm wondering, who needs your availability? Who needs your generosity of time in your life right now? Maybe it's a stranger, but more often it's someone that you already know. It's a barber or it's a hairstylist that's been cutting your hair for years but has questions about faith. Or maybe it's your college roommate that you haven't talked to in a few years, but you know they need to talk. Maybe it's the kid next door. I don't know. I invite you to pray for direction. God will give you direction. If you make yourself available for the grace of God to use you, these conversations will come looking for you. You don't need to go door to door. They'll show up right at your door as long as you make yourself available. Okay, point number two. Meet practical needs. Now, Jesus met the woman's spiritual need, which is what? Forgiveness. She needed grace. That was her spiritual need. But she also had a practical need, right? She had a reputation. She had no place in polite society. Unless something changed, her customers were going to keep on harassing her, right? Unless something changed, the Pharisees in town still are not going to want to have anything to do with this woman, right? Unless something changed, this woman was going to die alone and outcast from society. And so Jesus allowed a retired prostitute to lavish his feet with embarrassing affection at a Pharisee's house so that the whole neighborhood would actually get it, that this woman has been restored, that this woman belongs, that this woman has experienced grace and forgiveness, and she belongs just as much as you do. But that's not all. Jesus also met the practical needs of Simon the Pharisee. Now, Simon, he assumed that because he was deeply devoted to God, because he obeyed the law, that he was good with God, and he just didn't understand God's grace, that there's a connection between the forgiveness we've received and the love we have to give. If you've received just a little bit of forgiveness, you're going to have just a little bit of love. You've got a great big heap and dose of forgiveness in your life. You have a great big heap and dose of love to give to the world. There's a connection between the forgiveness we've received and the love we have to give. Now, Simon, he doesn't have a whole lot of give. He neglected Jesus, or neglected to give Jesus water to wash up his feet when he walked in the door. That's rude. Simon neglected to give Jesus a kiss. Some of you are thinking, well, that's good. No. No, it's not. That's like denying someone a handshake when they walk into your home, okay? That's not good. It was normal to give someone a little olive oil, which is like shampoo of the ancient world. That's soap of the ancient world. Have a little olive oil. Wash yourself up. Get clean before you come to my meal. He denies him that, which is why this woman is heaping perfume on Jesus' feet. Okay? Jesus calls out Simon's rude behavior in front of everyone. Not because he was mean, but because he wanted Simon to grasp this wonderful truth that love, the love we give, is ultimately rooted in the forgiveness that you have already experienced. If you have felt grace, you will have grace to give. Now, on Monday, I got to admit, I did not address the practical needs of salvation of those Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that only 144,000 people will inherit the promise of heaven. 144. Once, long ago, I think it was the same one where I made the Jehovah's Witnesses look at their watches and say, look at the time. I asked him, so if I were to convert, could I be one of the 144,000 that goes to heaven? No. What? But what if I was like really, really good? Could I? No. Basically, those spots were already spoken for. Well, that's kind of hopeless. That doesn't sound very good to me. They're going door to door, talking about Jesus, even though they don't think they'll ever go to heaven. I wish I had told those guys at the door that if they put their faith in Jesus Christ, who is God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, that they could experience the same salvation that St. Paul has experienced, that St. Peter has experienced, that the 144,000 best Christians that have ever believed. You belong just as much as any of them. Missed opportunity. I want to talk about your missed opportunities, though. Not just mine. Oh, yeah, they'll be back. I like that. Thanks, Gil. They'll be back. I don't want to just talk about me here. I want you to think about you. I bet you know someone with a practical need, right? I bet you know someone who's lonely and needs to talk, or someone who's sick and could use a meal, or someone who's just plain tired and would benefit from you watching their kids for a few hours. A friend in need is a friend indeed, they say, and I say to you that having a practical need is exactly when our minds and our hearts get open to hearing some good news, okay? That's what gospel means. It means good news. Who do you know that could use some good news? I'm telling you, there's good news waiting in Jesus Christ if you're willing to do the third thing, the third practical step that I'm giving you, and that's be willing to teach. Number three is be willing to teach. Now, Jesus was willing to teach Simon the Pharisee. Jesus explained that God's grace is like having all your debts canceled. When I read that scripture, I saw eyes opening up like, oh, that sounds pretty good. I could really benefit from that. I want you to imagine with me just for a moment. Credit card company calls their customers that haven't been paying their debts on time. Says, looks like you owe $5,000. Forgiven. Sounds good, huh? But then they call your next door neighbor. Say, $50,000 in debt. Forgiven. Who's going to be happier? Your house or your house? $5,000 or $50,000? Same question that Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee, right? Who is going to love the creditor more? The one who's forgiven a little or the one who's forgiven a lot? Simon the Pharisee got this answer correct. I think you can too. We just read it in scripture a moment ago. Do you know the right answer? That's right! The one who's forgiven more. Thank you very much. The one who's forgiven more is going to love them more. And this is what Simon needed to learn, because Simon really didn't understand that he was the person at the party who needed forgiveness the most. Not the prostitute. The person at the party who needed the most grace and the most love and the most forgiveness is Simon. And if he could just get this in his head, he too can be saved by the grace of God. Jesus also taught the retired prostitute. Jesus, he didn't act like her customers. Oppressors is probably a better word, who used her and abused her. And Jesus did not act like the Pharisees, who would avoid this woman and wouldn't touch a woman like that. Jesus is her Savior. Jesus teaches her about God's forgiveness. Jesus teaches her that she belongs among God's people as much as anyone else belongs among God's people. Jesus teaches her she can go forth in peace. Jesus gives her all the tools to go on out there and live a full and complete life, living in the grace of God, living in the love of Jesus. The next time I have Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on my door, I want to be a better teacher. I want to make myself available. I want to discover their practical needs, maybe give them a glass of water. And I want to open up the Bible and teach them how the good news of Jesus Christ is so much better than what they have heard. Who knows? God might use me to help them take a step closer to Jesus Christ, not some archangel, but the Son of God. I say to you, if you love Jesus and if you love the Bible, the chances are you have something to teach. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have all the answers. In fact, that can also be a deterrent to sharing your faith, having all the answers. It's really simple, folks. All you need to do is to pray for people that you love. God will give you an opportunity to talk about your faith. God will also send His Holy Spirit to enter into that conversation, to give you the right words when you don't feel like you have the right words, if you are available. If you want your loved ones to be a little bit closer to Jesus, God is inviting you to participate with the Holy Spirit to teach them about God's love. My friends, let's be available. Available to people who are in need. Let's deal with people's practical needs. And let's be willing to teach. We will see people come to Christ if we commit ourselves to those three things. Amen.